It's Friday, and you're listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. I'm Katie Wyatt, here with my co-host, Father Adam Streitenberger. Good morning.
Good morning.
We haven't been together in a while.
Yeah.
You were gone, and I was gone, but here we are. Last week, I assured our listeners we were not having a fight. We're good. Everything's fine. Just scheduling issues.
Yes.
A lot to cover today. Let's pray, and then we'll jump right in. How about?
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day and for all the blessings that you have in store for us this day. We ask, O Lord, that you open our hearts to your will, to your guidance, and to all these great gifts which you have prepared for us. We ask that you bless our listeners, bring them safely to their destinations, and bring them home safely. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Tell us everything about the Millennial Church Conference.
Ah, well, you know, it was a wonderful event.
And that's where you were last
week. That's where I was at last week,
yes.
Although, prior to that, I was down with the flu for leading up to that.
How? You are a picture of health.
Yeah,
how
well,
can the
you
flu
know,
get you? I don't understand.
It got me, but not as bad maybe as other people, so I recovered pretty well.
Of course you did.
Friday at St. Matthew's, they hosted us in Gahanna. We had the Millennial Church Conference, so there were about, well, I'd say we had 190 people that made reservations, and I think there were 190 people there throughout the day.
That's fed
160.
Oh my
so,
gosh. You know, we interviewed Father Chris Yackel from the parking lot of the Millennial Church Conference.
Yeah, yeah,
I think
we
made him late to Mass.
Yeah,
oops.
Yeah, he did not concelebrate, so he must have missed the
I
Mass.
I was feeling bad about that all week.
But you know, it was really a beautiful representation of the whole diocese. I don't know how many parishes were represented, but quite a few throughout the whole diocese. A lot of priests, a lot of deacons, a lot of parish staff members.
And so it wasn't a conference for millennials. It was for people who work with millennials.
But there were a lot of millennials. So young Catholic professionals also.
Yeah, Joseph must have been there because Lauren was our guest last
week.
Yes,
Joseph was there, and there were several others from, Kate Kriegel from St. John Neumann was there, and, you know, there were a lot of different young adult representation. So it was good. A lot of people from SPO, a lot of people from Damascus.
Awesome. So that's so exciting.
It was great, and what was really nice is, so they gave an intro to who the millennials are, and it was a basic, you know, I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to these sociological categories. So, you know, I've read a lot about it, and
well, that's what you're,
that's what I'm supposed to do,
right?
You know,
yeah.
That's what they pay me to do. So
big bucks.
It was a basic intro. They didn't get lost in facts and details and statistics. They gave a nice little overview of who the millennials are, which, you know, if our listeners don't know who millennials are, they're basically the generation born between 1980, 1981 to 1996. Some might say, although I think inaccurately, I would disagree with this, 84 to 2000, but that's kind of a nerdy little distinction.
20-somethings.
20s to 30s.
Early 30s.
Yeah, I would say mid-20s mid-20s to late 30s now. So they gave an intro, and then they gave kind of how we should approach them and how we, you know, what are kind of some mistakes in approaching them.
Like serving soda or pop at functions.
Exactly.
That's what our pastor shared with us from the conference. Serve LaCroix or craft beer, he said. Good to know.
Yeah. So then, and then there were some, I think practical strategies. And it was hosted by a group called ID916, which is connected with Renewal Ministries out of Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Okay.
So
they travel around and do this conference
upon the
invitation.
And then we had to provide, we provided the logistical support.
That's a great
and
setup.
I really, you know, the props to Catherine Supernaut and Sean Robinson for really, I mean, you know, like they might attribute the conference to me in the sense of hosting it, but really it was hosted by the Youth and Young Adult Office and by the Marriage and Family Life
Office. That's great. Everyone pitching in.
Yes, yeah.
Well, you know, Bishop Brennan co-hosted for you with me last week.
Yes.
His traffic and weather game was strong.
Was it?
Well, he told us it was cold, and then I had him tell us about his drive-in.
Yeah.
And, well, our listeners, I'm sure, are still calling to thank us for our fabulous
now,
traffic
you know,
and weather.
He also
service.
Made an appearance at the Millennial Church.
I think he can bilocate.
He's all over the place. We really are blessed.
Today he's in D.C.
He is. He's there for the March for Life.
With many, many young people from our diocese.
Yes.
My daughter is there. Our group from Church of the Resurrection is there.
Great. Groups,
yeah. So it's so exciting.
You sent a whole bus from Resurrection, mm-hmm. or was it a shared bus kind
no,
of
No, we send a bus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we have a great group that goes. And okay, so March for Life today. Bishop Perez from Cleveland going to Philly.
Yeah.
How about that? Back to the cathedral where he was ordained,
yeah.
right? And he was in Rockville Center with Bishop Brennan.
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah.
So who's your prediction on Cleveland's next bishop?
I don't speculate on these things.
Well, I hope Father Jim Black is already listening. He's our priest of the week, and I think we should tell him that really we're having him on because this is where we're announcing that he's going to be Bishop of Cleveland.
Yeah.
You think he'll believe us?
Probably not.
What?
I think he would have heard from the nuncio first.
No. The nuncio is using the Friday morning show to make the announcement.
That's right.
okay. Also, you know I love rankings. There are rankings in the Times
this week.
Yes. The Acre summary. Do you know what the ACRE is? The Assessment of Child/Youth Religious Education Test.
Yes, yes.
Standardized testing. Results are in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this stuff.
Who has the highest?
So they didn't do it by school.
It's an elementary, isn't it? It's
well, there's
not...
a fifth grade, an eighth grade, and 11th grade test.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll go with 11th grade.
Okay.
And they don't do it by school, which is a bummer. That's the most fun it by school. They do national school average versus diocesan average.
Uh-huh.
And across the board, in all domains, Columbus Catholic schools rank higher than the national school average.
Oh, that's
How
good.
How about that? Knowledge of the faith, liturgical life, moral formation, prayer, communal life, and mission. It says missionary spirit. Is that a word or is that a typo? Missionary.
Who knows?
I don't know. Anyway, prayer. We scored pretty high in prayer, higher than the national average. That's encouraging.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know me. I love that stuff. So, okay. What's coming up this morning? What do we need to know?
Well, are we ready for traffic and weather?
We're always ready for traffic and weather.
Wow.
We're waiting for traffic
and
weather.
Well, our traffic and weather is brought to you this week by St. Demetrius of Thessalonica. We ran out of the 14 Holy Helpers, so now we've gotten a new sponsor.
Have we done all 14 Holy Helpers?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So, St. Demetrius died in 306, and he was a twin of St. George. His feast day is October 26, and that's why he's the sponsor of our weather today, because he is one of the patron saints to invoke for snowfall. So if you're praying for a snow day, St. Demetrius is one of the people. Since we have not had a snow day yet this year, a real snow day yet this year.
Wait, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Is he the lesser known twin or am I just ignorant?
St. George
is
the more famous.
Demetrius. Yeah, he's the lesser known twin.
Yeah,
okay, I have another question related to twins.
Okay.
If Thomas means twin, what was his twin's name?
Who knows? Maybe Thomas was his nickname.
What was his twin's nickname?
I don't know.
See, these are the deep theological ponderances that I have. Okay.
So anyway, currently 41 degrees today. We're going to have rain most of the day. A high of 46 degrees. It is a mess out there, traffic-wise.
Yeah,
a mess.
We're as bad in rain as we are in snow.
It is. So let me just highlight the worst situations, okay? So southbound 315 at North Broadway, Havens Corners westbound at Taylor Station Road.
Oh, those people are never going anywhere.
Yeah, they're not. It's not like you can turn around.
Nope.
Yeah. And then 71 southbound between Polaris and 270. It's so bad, it's black on the map. You know,
what?
Like it's like
not even red.
It's like
beyond
red. It's like beyond red. So
oh my goodness. Sorry, listeners, we're not trying to be hopeless this morning, but you'll just have to be patient.
Be patient, yeah.
And
keep listening. And remember to drive safely. And if you have a St. Gabriel magnet on your car, represent us well.
I didn't do that this morning. I turned in front of somebody.
Uh-oh.
Sorry.
Uh-oh.
All right. So anyway, today is January 24th.
Yeah, this day in Catholic history.
What do you got?
In 1438, the Council of Basel illicitly suspended Pope Eugene IV.
Illicitly?
At this point, it became an anti-council. So
wow.
They went too far. The popes get to tell councils what to do.
All right.
In 1540, St. Edmund Campion, English priest and martyr, was born. And in 1624, missionaries sent by Pope Gregory XV arrive in Ethiopia.
Wow. I don't know about any of that stuff. But now I do, because I'm listening
now
to the Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We are going to move in right now to our Priest of the Week segment. We have Father Jim Black on the line. Father Black, are you there?
I am, yes.
Oh, my gosh. Did you hear the news?
Yes.
What do you think?
I just heard your weather report.
You weren't listening. You weren't listening before that when we announced the next bishop of Cleveland.
No,
it's you.
Oh.
Congratulations!
Well, I hadn't heard that.
Well, that's because they wanted us to tell you. Father Black, I'm kidding. I'm sorry if I got your hopes up.
Were those tears I heard? Or
I don't know, but the rest of my day is going to be easier now.
It's all downhill. It's all downhill.
Father Black, we like to play a game with our priests on Friday morning.
Okay, I think you just played a game.
An even better game, if you can imagine. And what we're finding out is that the goal is no longer to get the high score. The goal is to just beat Father Dan Dury, who has 6 points.
Oh, that's a win in itself.
Okay, so I thought you'd be on board for that. But we have a new game that no one has ever played before.
Okay.
It's trivia.
Uh-oh.
Because we heard you're a really super smart priest, so we thought we'd unveil this new game with you.
Okay.
Right. Okay, so what we do is we just do it for a minute, and you get as many points as you can in a minute.
Okay.
All right, and really, it's no pressure. Like, it's not like being appointed bishop or anything like that.
Right.
It's just a minute game. Okay. All right, here we go. You ready?
Ready.
What color are emeralds?
Green.
Spinach is high in which mineral?
Iron?
That's correct. They're both correct, by the way. What is the tallest mammal?
Tallest mammal. Giraffe?
Correct. How many strings does a violin have?
Oh, God. Five?
No, four.
Okay, four.
How many holes are there in a full round of golf?
18.
Yes. Which town in Italy is famous for its leaning tower?
Pisa.
Correct. What does the F stand for in FBI?
Federal.
Correct. Who is the mascot for Lucky Charms cereal?
Leprechaun.
Yes. Do you know his name, just for a bonus point?
I don't know.
Okay, that's all right. How many days are there in a fortnight?
Oh. 10?
No, 14. Yeah. How many colors in a rainbow?
Five?
No, seven.
Four.
Seven.
Oh, seven. Okay.
Okay, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 points.
Oh, I'd be buried.
That's all you need. That's all.
Again, my day is looking up. I need to go up.
First, your appointment, and also you beat Father Dury. So yeah. What a day you're having. Now, if you just stay out of traffic, you'll be fine today.
Yeah, I'm not going to get on 71 at Polaris.
Exactly.
Father, what's new at St. Joan of Arc?
Well, we are in the beginning parts of a capital campaign. We're looking to expand our building, so we're in that fun part of raising money, and we're excited about it. It's going to help us with all of our – right now we're just so crowded in our space that, you know, we need rooms. When our PSR is in session, they have to use all the rooms so we can have meetings and so forth. So what this is going to do, we'll be adding 24 classrooms in a separate building or a separate wing of the building so that the classes can be held in there, and it opens up the rest of the space to allow all of our other activities.
Now, you're not starting a school there.
No.
Now, I recently heard an interesting statistic that, or at least an interesting fact, is that St. Paul and Westerville used to be the largest parish in the diocese. What is the largest parish in the diocese now?
You know, I hear that back and forth the rest. I don't know the official answer, but someone had said they had heard someone at the chancery say, yeah, that St. Joan's is. We're right about 4,100 families, and I know that's what St. Paul has been. So, you know, we're up there, but I'm not sure exactly which one is the largest.
So you can't claim the title definitively yet.
No,
but do you want to? Because you can here on the Friday morning show.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Now, Father, how long have you been ordained?
I've been ordained 32 years.
Ah.
Yeah.
Are you a product of Catholic education, as we're getting ready to celebrate Catholic Schools Week?
I went to 12 years. 8 years at St. Leo's on the south side, and then my high school was Father Worley High School.
Oh, okay. Down on the south side, or the south end.
South end, as we call it.
South end. What's the story of your vocation? How did you find your vocation?
You know, I really didn't think seriously until I was in college, because I had known some priests in high school doing retreat work. And just saw how happy they were, you know. I think that really got me thinking. So I think that was sort of, as I look back, I think it was like a midterm of my vocation, because I think that really called it forward. But I go back as a child, remembering how we were just active in parish life. You know, we were always there working in the church, and my parents were always very active. My father became ill in my later elementary school and in high school, to the point he was homebound. And I look back and I see how Monsignor Trainer really was effective, because he would visit my dad regularly, bring him communion. And looking back, I think that really planted the seed to say, yeah, because I knew how important that was to my dad, that he had such a good pastoral care about him, Monsignor Trainer, that is. And I think that's when it really, you know, planted the seed, so that when in high school and I started thinking of it, I thought, well, yeah, why not, you know? You know, and I think that helped move along, that it didn't start from scratch, if you will. So, you know, I think that really was, you know, then I was a sophomore in college when I really started seriously discerning at Franklin University. So I finished that degree while living at the Spez House. The diocese had a house of vocations. So I lived there for 2 years as I finished my undergrad, with other guys discerning the priesthood, which helped in my formation. And then after graduating Franklin, went right into the seminary.
Who were your classmates for ordination?
Father Dennis Stevenson.
Excellent. As a product of Catholic education, what are the benefits that you found in receiving a Catholic education?
I think looking at, as any education, it hits all aspects of life and prepares you for life, and that faith was a part of all of that. It was sort of interwoven in all of it. So I think that really helped me to understand that, you know, whatever we're doing, whatever we're learning, it's in the context of our faith, that faith should always be a part of everything that we do. And I think that's an aspect of Catholic education that that I think is sort of a subtle, but it's a very powerful thing that any part of any day we can pray, we can, you know, put it in the context of prayer and our beliefs and all of that. And I think that really sets us, establishes a basis that says my faith is always active, whatever I'm doing.
As we talk about Catholic education, of course, the fundamental truth behind that is that parents are the primary educators of their children.
Right.
How do you support the parents at St. Joan and the education of their children?
You know, we try our best to involve them in the education part. We have quite a number of students at Catholic schools who don't have a Catholic school, so we obviously help with their subsidy and supporting them. Our priests go to services and things in the different schools, but for our PSR parents, we try our best to involve them in it. For instance, we had a church tour for first graders, and when we can, we invite the parents to join them. So we had, you know, that church tour, and a lot of the parents were with the kids, and I think they learned as much as the kids did. So we try our best, because of the limited space, like I mentioned before, we can't provide programming for parents while the kids are here because there's no space. So that's one of the things we look forward to once we get this new building, that when the children are in PSR, we can provide some formation programming for the parents.
Excellent.
While the kids are in school. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you. Now, a little known fact about Father Black, but he was my pastor when I was in seminary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Are you responsible for Father Adam Streitenberger, Father Black?
Let's be clear about that. No.
Okay. Okay.
No, but that was my first pastorate was at St. Peter's in Chillicothe and St. Mary Queen of the Missions in Waverly. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. I loved the people in both parishes.
Yeah. Father was well loved and missed too.
It was a great thing. Yeah. Adam was just in the process at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we really appreciate you being with us this morning.
Oh, sure. I've enjoyed it.
Great. Well, have a wonderful day. We're so happy to be able to say we knew you when.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Have a great day, Father Black.
Yep. Okay,
thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
You are listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We were just talking to Father Jim Black, pastor of St. Joan of Arc. When we come back, we have all our regular fun Friday morning stuff. And later in the hour, we're going to be talking to Dan Garrick, principal of St. Francis de Sales High School. So we'll take a break right now. Stay with us.
Some claim that since Jesus never talked about homosexual activity, he must have been okay with it. Well, he never mentioned poking your neighbor in the eye. That doesn't mean he was okay with it. Jesus overturned ritual laws of the Old Testament, but when it came to moral laws, he actually raised the bar. So it's safe to say he wouldn't condone homosexual activity. So where does that leave the 1.6% of people who identify as having same-sex attraction? Are they called to a loveless life where they have to hate themselves? You know, if that were true, I couldn't blame people for thinking we're bigots. But the truth is, a person's attractions don't define who they are. And physical intimacy is not the only way to experience love. And thanks to Catholic groups like Courage, check out couragerc.org, more and more people with same-sex attraction are finding their real identity and the love they were made for in the church. This is Chris Stefanik from reallifecatholic.com.
When I was in college, I ended up having a lot of questions about my faith, and I ended up leaving the church. After a series of personal tragedies, I really felt a need to come home to a church, and that's when I came back to the Catholic Church. I never realized before that we get, at every Mass, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Psalms, and the Gospel. I never realized before it's all biblically based. The Catholic Church is based on the Bible. This is the church that Christ started. And we practice all the sacraments as he gave them to us. And I think that's important. I love getting up and going to church. I love going to Mass. I feel like I get to go to Mass, not like I have to go to Mass. The joy, I have joy in my spirit. I have a lightness in my spirit that I haven't had before. I love the Catholic Church with all my heart. And I can't imagine my life without it. My life is totally different now.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Welcome back. to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. Today is Friday, January 24th, and we have traffic and weather.
Yeah, okay. Good morning, everyone. Our traffic and weather is brought to you this week by St. Demetrius. Currently 42 degrees. We're going to have a high of 46, rain most of the day. It is a mess out there. A couple, what we might say, hot spots. 315 southbound at North Broadway. 71 between Polaris and 270. And then Havens Corners Road, it actually looks like it's clearing up now.
I was just going to ask if anything is looking better than it did a few minutes ago.
Havens Corner Road is cleared up, so.
All right, stick with it. We can do this.
Yeah, remember to drive safely, and if you have a St. Gabriel magnet on your car, represent us well.
What's our catechism minute today, Father Adam?
Paragraph 229.
2229 or 229?
2229, okay. Yeah. 2229.
Got it.
As those first responsible for the education of their children, parents have the right to choose a school for them which corresponds to their own convictions. This right is fundamental. As far as possible, parents have the duty of choosing schools that will best help them in their task as Christian educators. Public authorities have the duty of guaranteeing this parental right and ensuring the concrete conditions for its exercise. So, you know, we believe that parents are the primary educators of their children, and that that responsibility is even before the state or even the church, for that matter. So parents are the ones who have the responsibility and the duty and really the choice of how their children are to be educated.
And you picked this paragraph because next week
is Catholic,
Catholic Schools Week.
Yeah. So this week we're kind of focusing on Catholic education, mainly because of the feast that we're going to be celebrating, that we're celebrating today, St. Francis de Sales, too.
You know what? I love this about the catechism. So every week you pick something from the catechism, and it's usually a topic of morality or topic of evangelization or topic, and, mm-hmm. and even down to education. Like the mm-hmm. catechism contains
everything
we need to know to be faithful Catholics, to understand the direction of the church in our lives.
It really, I mean, it you know, it goes with, I mean, I hit on it all the time. I think the catechism is the essential text for our study and for our catechesis and for our reading and everything. So.
Yeah. Next to Scripture, of course.
Yeah.
Oops, sorry. Dave Orsborne, he's our technician. He's in here, our sound engineer. He's in here every week, and he's tripping over my computer port, so my apologies. All right, and so you mentioned our saint
of the day. Our saint today is St. Francis de Sales, born in 1567. He was ordained to the priesthood despite his father's plans that he become a lawyer. He really felt a call to mission to the Calvinists in what we would say kind of around Switzerland and Geneva and northern Italy there. It's that kind of area. It's a former kingdom called Savoy is the name of the kingdom that he was from. He was named Bishop of Geneva in 1602, but because the Calvinists controlled Geneva, he really could never function out of there. So he stayed in the town of Annecy. Along with Jean de Chantal, he founded the Order of the Visitation. And his most famous writing, of course, is the Introduction to the Devout Life. And died in 1622. He's the patron of the diocese, and he's the patron of Catholic writers and journalists.
So today, am I correct? All parishes celebrate his feast day today. I mean, we all do, all over the world. But in our diocese in particular, because he is the patron of our diocese.
Yeah.
So it's everybody's feast day. Happy feast day.
It is, yeah.
All right. And tell us about our gospel today, Father Adam.
Well, we have a somewhat short gospel passage, but it is really the calling of the apostles, the 12 apostles. So Jesus went up the mountain, and he summoned those whom he wanted, and they came to him. We hear the 12 apostles, which were called out, and he gives them the mission and his authority. that he might send them forth to preach and to have authority to drive out demons.
And then we name them.
Then we name them. Can you name all 12 apostles?
I can because I'm looking at it.
Yes.
It's in front of me. But my favorite part of this is when he calls James and John the sons of thunder.
Boanerges, yes.
Yes. Is that how you pronounce that?
Boanerges. Boanerges.
Superheroes.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Anything else we need to know about that gospel? He gives them his authority.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that bears emphasis is that there is a difference when, you know, the gospels refer, at least the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they refer to the 12, the apostles, as opposed to the disciples. And this is, it's an important distinction in the Gospels that the 12 have a certain authority which the rest of the disciples do not have, that the Lord has kind of set them aside.
Does apostle mean one who is sent?
One who is sent.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But aren't all disciples sent as well? Like, what's
they
that
are,
distinction?
They are in some sense.
So
and
we're
that's
all
why,
sent, right. But
you
not
know,
with
in
all
John's Gospel, he uses the word disciples to refer to the 12. And that's, I think, a good way to see it, that on the one hand, the 12, the apostles, are unique, you know, and that their office is unique in the life of the church. But on the other hand, as disciples, we share in some way in the apostolic work of the church.
Right.
You know, we share in the apostolate. We are sent, you know, regardless of our vocation. By our baptism and by our confirmation, we are sent. I think that it always bears repeating that the 12 are a unique office, because sometimes when we read the Gospels, we think that what applies to the 12 or everything that applies to the 12 also applies to us as baptized members of the church. But there is a crucial distinction. We see that in the life of the church because the successors of the apostles, the bishops, you know, that
right.
It is a separate op. We don't
right.
all have the same, you know, role and authority as the bishops do,
right.
even if we want to think that.
Why would we want to think that? Don't trust anybody who wants to think that. Okay, you are listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. It is Friday, January 24th. It's the Feast of St. Francis de Sales, and we're going to take a little break, but when we come back, we're going to be speaking with Dan Garrick, who is the principal of St. Francis de Sales High School here in Columbus, so don't go away.
Catholic Community News from St. Gabriel Radio, AM 820.
The Knights of Columbus Council at St. Mark Catholic Church, 324 Gay Street in Lancaster, will be holding a 9 First Fridays devotion and salmon dinner. Begins on February 7th, starts at 4:30 p.m. with benediction and exposition. There will be confessions, Mass, Stations of the Cross, and then a dinner at the end. For more information, call 740-653-1229. The Central Ohio Chapter of the Catholic Medical Association will host an event on February 13th at St. Brendan Church, 4475 Dublin Road. A video presentation, Selfless Self-Preservation, The Paradoxical Duty of Resilience, will be shown. It's from 8 until 9:30 p.m. with a 3/4 hour credit available. For more information, call 614-769-5150 or visit the website cmacbus.com. Bishop Hartley High School, 1285 Zettler Road, will hold admission testings on Saturday. For more information, go to bishop-hartley.org.
This is a Young Catholic Minute.
How can I know the Bible is true?
There was once this really smart guy named St. Augustine of Hippo. That's right, Hippo. He said, "I would not believe the gospel if the authority of the Catholic Church did not move me to do so." He learned that the Bible was true in the same way that we learn most things. Someone he trusted told him. Most people have not split an atom. No one alive saw the Battle of Thermopylae, nor has ever set foot on the 16 moons of Jupiter. But we believe in these because someone who knows better than us has told us about them. St. Augustine knew that the Catholic Church was founded on the apostles, who had died horrible deaths rather than deny that their friend Jesus Christ was God, risen from the dead and present in the Eucharist. And that living witness made him believe, as it did for the Gentiles, for every Christian in history, and it will do the same for you. For more, go to youtube.com/youngcatholic.
I'm Lori Kroc, and this is a Holy and Healthy Minute. Some athletes are more inclined to short and fast events, and others are designed for endurance events, such as marathons. I had a student once who excelled at ultras, 100-mile running races. I can't imagine training for that. Just as we have different physical gifts that help determine how we enjoy athletics, we also have different spiritual gifts and different callings in our prayer lives. There are so many ways to pray to build up the body of Christ. In the words of St. Teresa of Avila, we need a determined determination to never give up prayer. Scripture encourages us to find our way in prayer with the Holy Spirit. From Romans chapter 8, 2 comes to the aid of our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself intercedes with inexpressible groanings. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, help us to hear your voice and to pray as we ought. Amen.
And we're back. This is the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We are here in the studio this morning with Dan Garrick, principal of St. Francis de Sales High School. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And the reason you're here, Father Adam, what are we talking about this morning?
Well, our theme this week is Catholic education, kind of to lead into Catholic Schools Week next week. And we hear in the Gospel this Sunday, Jesus went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. Crucial to evangelization, to the proclamation of the gospel, is the formation of disciples in catechesis and education, and that's really the purpose of our Catholic schools and education. So we want to talk about that this morning. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you so much, and I am honored to be with you today. When we are not in session, especially in the summer, I try to listen as frequently as I can. And I know that a good number of our families are avid listeners. So,
oh, that's great. That's good to know.
We certainly appreciate the ministry that you provide.
And happy feast day, too, by the way.
Well, it is. It's a wonderful day, and we appreciate the acknowledgement. I talk to our students probably more than they care to hear about the responsibility that comes with being named after the patron saint of our diocese. So it puts us in a little bit of a spotlight, but a spotlight that we readily embrace.
Yeah. What is your background in Catholic education?
Well, Father, I actually am a product of Catholic schools. I went to St. James the Less, and I went to St. Francis de Sales High School. Went on to Ohio Dominican College at that time, and also have done grad work at the University of Dayton.
Mm. Wow, you never never strayed from
Catholic school. Lived in a little bit of the proverbial bubble, but it's a bubble that I very much appreciate and respect.
You went into teaching in Catholic education then?
Yes. So I started back at my alma mater in 1987, and I've been there ever since, and have been blessed to serve as a teacher, a coach, assistant principal for my predecessor, Mr. Pat Rossetti, who was a legend in the diocese for many, many years, served our families. In fact, he'll be at Mass here this morning for our feast day. He always comes back home. And then was named principal 15 years ago. I'm in my 15th year as principal. So
excellent, excellent. What's going on at St. Francis de Sales? What's new there?
It's an exciting time.
Yeah.
It's an exciting time. What's really kind of gratifying is not just unique to St. Francis de Sales, but the Diocese of Columbus. We've been able to kind of buck the trend of decline in, Catholic school enrollment. In fact, we're doing very, very well. We anticipate that we will actually be on a wait list next year. So that's a positive, and it's an affirmation, I think, of what our community is working to provide in terms of following the vision of our founding principal, Monsignor Barrett, who wanted to provide a Catholic education for the northeast quadrant of Franklin County. And I think we've really tried to uphold that vision, and I think we've been pretty successful. But in terms of new things that are going on, We are also, I heard Father Black in the prior segment talking about the Capitol campaign that they're doing at St. Joan of Arc, and we are also doing some facility enhancements as part of a campus master plan, which we've entitled Be the Light, which started with quite a bit of work, strategic planning that dated back to about 2010, and now we're starting to chip away at the things that we're doing. And the thing that we're doing right now is we are converting the prior convent space to a student service center, which is where our guidance counselors will be, and there will be additional gathering spaces for alumni. It's going to be just a wonderful space for our community. And what was really kind of gratifying, we had the opportunity to approach the Sisters of Stella Niagara when we were sure that we were going to start it this year. We went up to visit them at the Mother House, and the provincial at that time was Sister Edith Weiss, who actually taught at DeSales. So coming full circle, and she actually said that the sisters were really so grateful to hear that it was going to be utilized for students, student work, and she said it will be a great use of sacred space. And I thought it was a great way to phrase that.
How do you keep the legacy of the sisters going at the sales?
Well, I think it's maybe not as difficult as one would initially think, and I think that's because they poured so much love into the school in the early years, and in terms of the amount of work that they put forth, the evangelization, the complimenting Father Barrett who was our founding principal, and making sure that our school was rooted in Catholic teaching. And so that tradition was established early. So now it's a matter of maintaining it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no question in today's culture that can be a challenge at times. But what we have is we have a situation, a community that embraces that, families that still understand that and value that, and a staff that is completely unequivocally devoted to that. So it's a great opportunity for us.
What are ways that you maintain that Catholic ethos, that Catholic identity?
Well, I think, and again, I referenced the earlier segment this morning, I thought was as well said, and that is, faith has to be prevalent in everything that we do, in the classroom, in our co-curricular life. It is something that should permeate. I always tell our students that if we were to take away the religious symbols of our building, the artifacts that are a part and parcel of who we are, would people understand they were in a different place by the way we treat one another? And that's where we're blessed to have a patron saint, the gentleman saint, who was humble and kind and loving. And not only that, he was certainly rightfully so, the patron saint of writers, because he had such prolific thoughts. And we're able to share that, and it's something that's easy for people to understand.
Excellent. What are some challenges that you face with Catholic education and Catholic schools in this contemporary age?
Well, there's no question. There's always been an element of wanting to be countercultural, okay? But and that's an easy thing to say, but it's really about making sure that students understand that goodness and kindness does prevail. We live in a world, a society, and one of the things that I think is a blessing about St. Gabriel Radio is you can turn the dial from just a montage of what can oftentimes be negativity and come to what is really wholesome and good, and that's the message that we try to deliver each and every day, that every person, every child is a child of God, needs to be treated with that respect and dignity. And when you feel like you're loved and you feel like you're supported, you can do phenomenal things. And people at the end of the day want that. And when I say that, I'm talking about young people. They want that. They want structure in their lives. They want to have an environment where they can go and learn and know that what they're learning, they can apply to make the world a better place. I think sometimes young people get generally sometimes a bad rap, unfortunately. And I tell people all the time, that's not my reality. What I see are people, young people that truly, truly want to make a difference and want to bring the face of Christ to those with whom they're blessed to interact. So that's, for me, an affirmation of my own personal faith. So it's really, you know, I think it's part and parcel of who we are.
I think that's beautiful that Christian formation, especially in the schools, you know, it's not a, well, let's take them away from the culture, because you can't separate these children, these kids from the culture. But what it is to provide a place to form them so that they can live in that culture.
Right. Right. And understand that that we're fallible, and that we're going to make mistakes. That's part of growth. It's a healthy part of growth, but we need to make sure that that's done in an environment where there's teaching that's going on as well. And it was mentioned earlier, and I believe it was you, Father, that said, you know, parents are the child's primary educator. We're not there to replace. We are there to supplement and to affirm. And so that partnership has been something that we've been able to maintain. That's really critical. And that's not necessarily the case everywhere you go. And so I think, and again, that's not something that's unique to St. Francis de Sales. I had the occasion to be at the diocesan principals meeting yesterday, and I'm in a room full of people that live their lives that way. So yeah. It's kind of gratifying.
Wonderful. What special things are you doing to celebrate your patron today?
Well, we traditionally have our Mass, and we will do that here momentarily, about 9:30, as a matter of fact. So I'll be going right back to Mass.
I hope traffic is okay for you to get back.
Well, we will try to abide by all posted speed limits. But fortunately, we're not too far away. So in any event, we have Mass. And then following Mass, we always invite our pastors and principals of our partner schools, our feeder schools, to come in. And so they will bring a couple of their student leaders, who we would like to have them there as well. So we keep that sense of continuity and tradition and family. And our student leaders will be there, and we kind of will share with one another and celebrate the wonderful things that are going on in all of our schools. Which is a great way. I always tell the kids, Catholic Schools Week nationally starts next Monday, but it actually starts for us. It should be every day. That we're celebrating our Catholic schools. But in any event, we start formally with our Mass today.
And St. Francis de Sales is sending a delegation to the March for Life, or I should say has sent, because they're already there probably by now.
Yes, and what, again, that's a wonderful thing. We have a full bus. I think there's about 55 people on the bus that is made up of about 40 of our students, and then we have Father Stosh Daly, who's a proud alumnus of our school, and also Deacon Mickey Hawkins, who was an alum of our school as well, and our students. And then they're meeting up. In fact, they met up with Bishop Brennan last night at the Life is Good rally, and I got a picture of that. I was able to send that out to our community. And so then they will participate in the march. I think it's really, really important to give students the opportunity to really see faith in action, and to provide a voice for the voiceless. And so we've always been committed to that, and I'm really proud of them and feel 100%. I had someone ask me, are you concerned? Because unfortunately, there were some circumstances last year, as we all recall. And I said, I am not. It's sort of like a parent that, you know, hopefully when your kids are ready to go to college and you feel as if they're ready.
Yeah.
And so I feel that way. with our kids and with our leadership. I feel very confident that they will represent us in a first-class manner.
Excellent.
That's great. That's great to have that assurance.
Yeah.
Dan Garrick, principal of St. Francis de Sales High School, here with us on the feast day of your patron, which is such an honor and a blessing for us. Thank you for taking the time to be here.
I'm the one that's honored and blessed to be here. Thank you.
Well, great. Okay, you are listening to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We're going to take another break. We'll be right back.
Sarah clubs throughout the world pray for and support the priesthood and consecrated religious life. Please join in our prayer for vocations.
O God, who wills not the death of a sinner, but rather that he be converted and live, grant, we beseech you, through the intercession of Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, St. Joseph, her spouse, St. Junipero Serra, and all the saints, an increase of laborers for your church, fellow laborers with Christ, to spend and consume themselves for souls. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
For information on the Sarah Clubs in the Diocese of Columbus, go to saracolumbus.org. That's S-E-R-R-A, columbus.org.
Did you know that your body has a theology? Here's a hard word to spell, concupiscence. Concupiscence is the natural desire for something good. But over the years, its meaning has been understood to have a disordered desire for something, possibly leading to destructive action. One way to describe this is lust. To lust after someone is to see them as an object to use for one's pleasure. We suffer the effects of original sin. What we think is good for us often isn't, or what we desire is in a selfish, me-first kind of way. But we're designed to be fulfilled by the good, the true, and the beautiful. And through the theology of the body, St. John Paul II shows us how to overcome lust with God's grace, self-mastery, self-sacrifice, and willing the good of others. I'm Clarissa Chichioko for Creative Catholic Works. For more TOB Minutes, you can find us at creativecatholicworks.org.
Welcome back to the St. Gabriel Friday Morning Show with Katie and Father Adam. We just had the blessing and pleasure of talking to Dan Garrick, principal of St. Francis de Sales High School. There's a lot going on in at De Sales and at all of our Catholic schools. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, it's wonderful to hear about it.
Hey, during the break, my sister texted me because we asked Father Black to name the tallest mammal.
Uh-huh.
And we gave him a point for giraffe because that's the answer I have. And she said, end to end, a whale is taller than a giraffe.
Well, I mean, taller is, you know, what do we mean?
I guess
by
I didn't
taller?
Say longer. I said taller.
So.
Yeah. So anyway, we're not going to take away the point because then he would be tied with Father Durian. Yeah. So. But anyway, I just, you know, listeners, don't call. We know that there is a potential discrepancy there. Okay, what do you have coming up next week, Father Adam?
Well, this Saturday I have a meeting with all of the lay apostolates. We're having a little day of half day of reflection. Bishop's going to say Mass for us, and I'm going to give a little talk on the new evangelization and what that is and what that means.
You have a pretty good response to that. You think a lot of people are coming? Or?
I think so. Yeah. You know, I think 50 to 75.
Wow.
So is what I've heard. So
we are on fire.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of great things happening, a lot of great people doing it. So
awesome.
And then on Sunday I'm preaching this weekend, I'm preaching at all the masses at St. Matthew's in Gahanna.
Why is that? Are you just subbing for Father Still?
No, I'm it's their annual drive for perpetual adoration. You know, they have perpetual adoration, so they every year they do like a
refresher
revival kind of get some new people fresh blood. So
that's great.
They invited me in. We'll see if I can, enliven it.
Accomplish the mission.
Yeah.
Are they, they're one of only maybe, what, two or three parishes in our diocese with perpetual Eucharistic adoration?
Well, I know St. Michael's does, Immaculate Conception does,
mm-hmm.
St. Matthew's does. I think those are the only three that I know of.
Yeah.
Maybe. You know, it takes a lot to run perpetual adoration. I mean, you know, the commitment and everything. And it probably is best that not every parish, you know, like maybe one in a deanery is sufficient, you know?
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful thing, and a lot of great graces come from it.
A lot of great grace. Yeah. I have heard so many cool stories about things that have happened in people's lives when they commit that hour each week to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for, you know, places for, you know, to do adoration throughout the day, St. Matthew's, Immaculate Conception, and St. Michael's.
Yep.
So.
Okay. Tell us about, so on February 2nd, oh, I'm sorry, what else do you have coming up? Was there anything else?
Okay. I mean, that's, you know, what else you want me to do next?
Well, what else can you do?
Next weekend, the first weekend of February, is the St. Paul's Outreach Fan in the Flame Retreat, which I'm involved with.
Gracious. Yeah. So much going on. Also next weekend, February 2nd, Presentation of Our Lord.
Yes.
And there's a Mass for religious.
A special Mass. You know, the Feast of the Presentation, when Our Lord is presented in the temple, is a special time to remember those in consecrated life. Both religious and then all, you know, all the other forms of consecrated life. I think because the Lord is consecrated to, you know, to his Father in the temple there, there's this sense of dedication. And so that's why it's sort of the annual celebration of religious life.
Is that diocesan or nationally or?
Throughout the whole Universal Church.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
The Universal Church. Yeah. So Father Stosh Daly, the vicar for religious, who's doing a phenomenal job in that role, he organized this. There's going to be a holy hour before the 5:15 Mass at the cathedral
on Sunday, February 2nd.
Yeah, pray for increase in vocations to the religious life, and then there'll be a special Mass with all of the religious in the diocese present.
Is everyone invited to that?
Everyone's invited to that.
And
everyone's invited
to
the Holy Hour.
Because we can support the consecrated in
our
diocese.
You know, we could call that our Mass mob of the week, you know. Let's everyone go to the 5:15 on Sunday at the cathedral and support our religious and show them how important they are.
Yep. And of course, this coming week is Catholic Schools Week. We've talked a lot about that. We have 53 Catholic schools in our diocese.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
16,000 students.
Yeah.
I
had no idea. So we're doing great.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a good news story. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
An 83-year-old Scottish woman with dementia is quickly climbing the UK music charts after her nursing home caregiver fell in love with her singing voice. So Margaret Mackey is her name. She and her caregiver, Jamie Lee Morley, sang a duet of My Way, Sinatra's My Way, at the nursing home Christmas karaoke party last month. And Morley, the caregiver, got her permission from her family, got her Mackey, the woman, to go record the song at Ingolston-based studio called Sound. This is in the UK. And since uploading their rendition to iTunes earlier this week, it has steadily climbed up to number 8 on the UK's top 40 most popular music chart, surpassing Ed Sheeran, Selena Gomez, Lizzo, and Miley Cyrus.
Whoa.
It costs 79 pence to download. I don't know what that means. I don't know how that translates.
Yeah.
And they're donating all of the song's proceeds to the Alzheimer's Society and Dementia UK.
Hey.
How about that?
Good news.
You never know. So I guess the moral of the story is sing everywhere you go until someone gives you a recording contract.
Yeah.
And you can donate the money to a good cause. That's not the moral of that story?
I think it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'll go with it.
It's one of the morals.
One of the morals.
Okay. Do you still have traffic pulled up? One more. Are we going to be okay?
We're going to survive.
Okay. It's not still all
black. Just
be
careful and be slow.
They didn't just take the black crayon and scribble on the screen.
It may be that my screen is failing. No, it was black. It was black. So.
Wait, so there's no traffic issue.
There
it's
is
just your screen
issue.
Was okay.
Yeah.
All
let's end with a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. We fly to thy patronage, O Holy Mother of God. Despise not our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen.
Amen.
And for my co-host Katie, this is Father Adam saying, until next time, peace and all good.